Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Of the AFL.
In from the side, Houghton. She was surrounded by blue jumpers.
Anderson, groundbreakers, history makers.
Welcome to the Outer Sanctum today for another edition of the Fifth Quarter. I am Julia Chiera and I am recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continuing connection to the land and waters and that sovereignty of this land was never ceded. We pay our respects to their elders past and present. I am delighted today to be joined by Natalie Wood, the inaugural head coach for Essendon's AFLW team. Natalie has had a long career in women's football as a premiership player with Melbourne University and the Darebin Falcons, as well as coaching stints with Geelong's VFLW and AFLW teams, and most recently as midfield coach with the Western Bulldogs AFLW side. Thank you so much for joining us today, Natalie.
Thanks for having me, JC. It's a pleasure to be along.
Great. It's lovely to see you. Congratulations on the gig.
Thank you.
I think for lots of people in Victoria who have been involved in women's football, they know who you are, but you might not be more widely known outside the little bubble of this world. So can you tell us a bit about your background, where you grew up? And some of the experiences that have brought you to being the first coach for the Essendon AFLW side.
I grew up in Warrnambool on a dairy farm about 20 minutes outside of Warrnambool, and then moved, as many people do in the country, moved to Melbourne to study university. You know, I think I caught the 7 a.m. train out of Warrnambool the day after my last Year 12 exam, so I was pretty keen to get out and start the next chapter, and spent some time in Melbourne. I actually started out studying osteo and playing cricket was my thing, and did that for a few years. But in trying to train for cricket, stumbled across 8 or so women training under pretty much a streetlight for Melbourne Uni football. And that was in 1998, and that ended up being a lot more fun. And then over the course of a few years, transitioned out of cricket and fell more and more in love with football, and was really blessed to have had 12 years on and off between work and travel with Melbourne Uni, and then 5 years at Darebin at the end of my career as well.
Yeah, very good years, very successful years you had playing. What about your coaching? Tell us a bit about what coaching you've been doing.
Yeah, so coaching's an interesting one. I've been a teacher for 15 years and teaching PE maths. So I guess the art of coaching has been being developed whilst being a teacher. But in actual fact, when I was sort of getting towards my last days at Darebin, I didn't want to be the old person still running around on the football field. So I decided that the only way to do that was to pack up and move to the country again. And so moved down to Ocean Grove and just severed ties with football. And probably got about 12 months into that, and then realised, which I probably should have realised earlier, just was a bit naive, that life was a bit challenging without sport and being involved with a community and having that common goal and something to work towards. So at the time, Geelong were going through the process of putting in a licence for the AFLW. So I just reached out to them, having just stepped out of the Victorian academies at the time and having played in the first two exhibition games for Bulldogs. So I contacted Geelong and just let them know that I was in the area if they wanted a different voice or perspective in helping them put together their licence. And they were terrific. They jumped at the chance to get my view from having had a lived experience. And just from there, we formed really good connections and relationships. And they didn't get their licence in the first round, so went to work on putting together a VFLW team. And so I joined ranks with them, being an assistant coach as a defence coach. And then just opportunities started to come about in terms of coaching with Vic Country, and then coaching being the head coach of AFLW, and when Geelong came into the AFLW, was able to sort of step into that as well. So I guess from missing community sport, I found my way back into what is now football being an elite sport, and I've just been really blessed to have had some terrific mentors and terrific people that have allowed me to explore what I can do as a coach.
So the job you've got now, can you tell us a bit about the process of getting the job at Essendon? And without being modest or humble, why did they pick you?
I think the first – I'm not sure I can answer that question. The first thing that Essendon did was 12 months ago. They reached out to a number of people who were in the AFLW as coaches and as administrators and also players, just to step into this space with a real open mind and a sense of curiosity, that they were wanting to know what people's experiences were, what the things that were going well in programs were, and perhaps what some of the barriers and challenges were. And that was part led by Josh Marnie, who's the general manager of football at Essendon, and he was at Melbourne in this role when AFLW first started. So he was really instrumental in leading this open approach to how can we learn from the first five, six seasons of AFLW, and how can we create a program that allows us to step in trying to be at the level, as opposed to trying to start too far behind all the other clubs. So I was, I guess, one of those people that they reached out to, and just from that moment and that process, an AFL club being prepared to listen to other people's experiences and not just think they have all the answers straight off the bat, just showed that open-mindedness and that curiosity that, that strikes a real strong chord with me as an approach. It was obviously an interview process, and I was at the start of my second season at the Bulldogs at the time, and thoroughly enjoying my role there. The group I got to work with was, particularly with the midfields, was incredible, having, draftees coming through, but then having the experience and the expertise of Ellie Blackburn and Kirstie Lamb. So to be able to work with a real range of players was fantastic, and it was proving a lot to help me in terms of my growth. So I wasn't necessarily looking for something else, but through the course of the year and conversations, I guess for Essendon, I seemed a good fit. And as I got to know more about the program, like heading to an expansion team wasn't necessarily on my agenda. With being a head coach, perhaps at the start of the season, wasn't necessarily. But I guess as you sort of engage in conversations and explore ideas a bit further and going through the AFLW season, I definitely felt ready and felt that Essendon was also a really good fit for me.
You've dodged the why are you so good question, but that's all right, we'll get there. So you've been, as you said, you've been involved in quite a few clubs, you've had a lot of experience. What are some of the big lessons you've learnt so far in this AFLW space, in a women's footy space, about how you build a team, how you build success?
I think one of the things you hear a lot from players is that they really want to be treated like elite athletes, and part of that is being realistic as to where they are at their journey at that point in time, and then working out what their next steps are. So to not just always say that everything's great, because everyone's always got something to improve on, but also being able to celebrate, what people are doing well. But I guess for me, it's then being able to stand next to a player with them and go, what's the next step that we need to do together to get you to the next step? So it's not necessarily that it's do as I say. I see it as a real joint journey. Players have their experience from doing it. I get a privileged perspective to view things differently from the player. And I think the real value in coaching and bringing a new group together is actually going, you bring your view, I'll bring mine. Let's stand here together, work out what a common goal is and work towards that, hand in hand. So that, I guess that's the approach that I take, and that, that allows us to talk really honestly, about, I've come from a real improvement cycle and a real improvement mindset, sort of really want to push players to, take whatever it is their next step is and keep doing that over and over. And that also then has, I have to do that as a coach, and I have to lead that with the other coaches that we, we're all learning, and, the better we do it, the quicker we'll all learn together.
And I guess the benefits of collaboration with player and coach, and that you're doing it together, and it's a back and forth as well. You spoke to the group about the bravery it's taken for the players and staff to leave the clubs that they're familiar with and head to a brand new team, an expansion team. Can you unpack that a little bit for us in the outer, and why you think that that's going to be a key theme for you and why it's so important?
Yeah, I guess it was a really unique moment, the first training night, and to have the players, the staff from the broader club and the board as well in the room. I guess I just saw it as an opportunity to bring everyone together and just celebrate this all the work that has happened in the years leading up to this point. And I think to be really inclusive and have strong expectations moving forward, you've got to be able to appreciate and understand the past and different people's roles that they've played. Through our conversations in the expansion signing period, and you know, we spoke to a lot of players, to work out how our approach was going to be with our list management, and you could see it in the players. You'd have some really, you know, great conversations, but you could see this real unknown factor that would just wash over them, and you could see that there'd be some wanting to go, you know what, it sounds great, it looks great, I'm hearing everything I want to hear, but there's this massive step that they had to take that was so unknown. You know, that I guess when you look at Mads Prosparkas and Georgia G and Bonnie Toogood, they were the first three that signed or committed to signing quite early in the piece. And that was huge, because the three of them were going through that process each in isolation, and to make that decision to be one of the first to take that step into this space, like, that's incredibly brave. All the players on our list, and the players that we've been able to elevate from our VFRW, players that have come in from other VFRW, it's all new. They get to be a part of setting the expectations. They get to be a part of driving what we do, and that does take bravery. And there'll be times it's a brutal game, like, it's scrutinized, it's public, and there'll be times that, you know, their confidence has little whacks and little dints, and I want them to be able to center back to this moment that they showed a lot of strength in their own character to sign up with Essendon. And if I can tap into that, and if I can unpack that a little bit to help galvanize what we do as a group from the beginning, then, you know, as a coach bringing 30 people together and you've got 10 weeks, I'm going to find whatever I can to tap in and get this group on the same page as quick as possible.
Yeah, and there's a unique opportunity, I think, when you're in a fresh place, a fresh start, that people don't need to bring, I guess, the expectation or reputation or whatever they've got hanging around them with them. That you would have experienced this in teaching. You know, you get a handover from year 10 to year 11, oh, little Jimmy's a little rascal. And, you know, if you treat Jimmy as the new as his new teacher as a rascal, he'll be a rascal. People can wipe the slate clean about what might be expected of them and reset and create something new in terms of their identity and their expectations about themselves. And it is very exciting, I think, in terms of player movement that we've seen, that that some players will really benefit from starting again and saying, you know what, you think I'm X, Y, Z, well, I'll show you I'm actually capable of more, and you've pigeonholed me. I don't think that's specific to Essendon. I think that's specific with all player movement, the opportunities it gives for women and non-binary players to do that.
Yeah, most definitely. And then also too, in the existing clubs, because of the movement, it equally allows players to step into gaps that have perhaps not necessarily been there for them to have prior as well. So I think it, as frustrating as expansion can feel to the fans and the people, you know, we're now at 18 teams, so hopefully there is a level of stability for, you know, moving forward. But expansion players, but also existing players, I think 120 new people coming into the competition does allow players to step into something that perhaps they hadn't previously. And but also a part of it too, and something that, you know, I question the players that we've got here, and I really challenge them. Like, just putting on a new jumper doesn't bring change. Mm-hmm. Like, it gives you the opportunity to create change, but it's really up to the players. You actually have to change something. You actually have to change the way you push through your weights in the gym, or the way that you push through, or your attitude to your running. That just putting a new logo on isn't everything. It creates the opportunity, but it's really in the player's hands.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Ali Blackburn, and you're listening to the Outer Sanctum.
You've compiled a really well-balanced list with lots of experience and X factor. So what was the club looking for in that signing period?
First and foremost, and you hear it often, the conversation around talent versus character, and that can be quite broad at times. For us, the digging into the character, and it lends itself to what Essendon's trying to do, but also for me as a coach, is that the people coming in have to want to get better. They can't step in going, I'm at my peak, you're just going to learn from me. It's whether you feel you're at the peak, I'm going to push you to go, what else can you do? What's something different we can do? What's something more? Or can we just do it more often? So all the people coming in have a want to be better. That's really key, because if we've got that, then we can get together and start working on what we're doing. But equally too, we want that to be able to recognise and celebrate the success of the VFLW program that Essendon's been able to do over the last 4 or 5 years in terms of establishing a really good culture, developing some really good players. So being able to have 9 of our players come through from our VFLW program onto our AFLW list and being able to recognise that program, it was one part of our strategy. And with that, half of them are players that have been on an AFLW list before. So, that speaks to their character. They've been on a list, they've been bumped out, they've gone away, they've worked at their craft or their fitness or their approach to the game, and they've got themselves back into a position where they're ready for another go. And that speaks volumes to me and the rest of the list management team. And then from a current AFLW player perspective, in terms of, we're keen to get really good players. We, like all teams, you want, really good players, and we're able to pitch a really quality program that we think we've put together. But like all expansion teams, you didn't get everyone that you first put up on the drawing board, but geez, we're really impressed with the players that we've been able to get. We've got 23 players at the moment. Jess Wooshner is still on her way down from Brisbane, so we'll have her next week. And so on the track this week, the calibre of skills and character that we've got is just been phenomenal. But, that's the first piece in a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Like, we've got to get to work now. Like, just because we've got good people and a good range of football talent, that doesn't mean that it's going to bring us success. We now need to knuckle down and get to work on our fitness and get to work on our football and get to work on how we play together. So it's really only just beginning.
It's a short run-up to this season, but I guess you've got a big group that have just bounced out of a season, or they're playing VFLW, so they're not coming from zero. So what should Essendon fans be getting excited about this first year?
I think that firstly that we get to represent them, that, we've got fans across Melbourne, across Victoria, across the whole country and internationally, and finally, it's the same for Hawthorn fans and Sydney and Port Adelaide, that now these people that have followed their clubs, for such a long period of time, actually get to follow both the men's and the women's competitions. And I think that's fantastic, and that's a real credit to everyone in the industry, that within 7 years we've gone from no AFLW to 18 teams, and that's incredible. And I guess I've always said that I sort of had a bit of an industry first focus when I was at Geelong and Bulldogs. If decisions were getting made, I was sort of always keen to make sure AFLW and the women's game had a sense of sustainability to it, and that it wouldn't feel that we were really rock solid until all AFL men's teams had an AFLW team. And I've always said that once there was 18 teams in, then I'd start to get super competitive again. So as the coach of one of these last teams coming in, I think that the fans hopefully can get about a group of players that take the field ready to win 4 points. And if we win, great, we'll work out what we did well and keep trying to do that. And if we don't, we'll get to work on trying to work out how we can win the next game. So it's going to be a pretty competitive approach that we take, understanding that it's also going to be, you know, it's a long journey. We're a new group and we'll ride the bumps, the highs and the lows as we go through this first season.
You mentioned there that you are one of the new coaches coming in, and we've gone from, you know, zero women coaches in 2022A to three in 2022B, and you've been in the system for a while. So what have you noticed along the way that's changing or perhaps not changing enough for women coaches or coaches that are trying to get into the system?
Yeah, really good question. It's sort of a fine line between, like, the competition is still all so new. So there's this natural growth and evolution of the players that we're seeing on the field, and that holds true for all facets of the industry, and coaches are, you know, we're within that group as well. Like, we're an evolving and growing group. We weren't already made. I couldn't be doing the job that I'm about to do this year. I couldn't have been doing it 3 years ago or 4 years ago. So, you know, we've all got to learn and grow as we go through. But equally, there's been a lot of initiatives from AFL Victoria and also the AFL in terms of giving female coaches opportunities to grow. And in this last 12 months, I've been doing some work with AFL Victoria in the community female coaching space, and that's brought me so much joy. The passion, the sheer volume of females coaching in community sport and people's want to talk about the game and talk about how to develop skills is so heartwarming to see the groundswell that is coming. It is, for a lot of coaches, you know, it is an unfamiliar space, and some clubs are more ready for female participation in football than others, and I'm talking from, you know, the whole way through all ranges of football, from Auskick through to the top level. And there's some different barriers that, you know, at times we've got to work through, but sometimes it's also our own barriers. I found that here at Essendon when I, you know, my first couple of weeks stepping in, and I was really cautious of what I was doing and who I was talking to and not wanting to get in people's way. And after about 2 weeks, someone asked me, oh, how's it going? What are some of the barriers? And I had to stand back and I'm like, the biggest barrier was actually myself, like, because the club is so ready for the women's program, so ready for me to be in all the men's coaching discussions and meetings and on the training track. But it was actually my own barriers that was stopping what I was doing. So, you know, it's different for different people, but the nine clubs where the inaugural, forget the name of it, but yeah, the coaching initiative the AFL have put in place. So, you know, as of, you know, this year, there's nine females coaching within the men's space. You know, for young coaches, male and female, to see elite female coaches at the, you know, at the elite level, that it's going to have a big positive impact over time.
Yeah, so you're speaking to the clubs making space for, you know, having women coaches, but you giving yourself permission to take up that space and own it. You are a head coach at Essendon, and you have every right to be there. But it is, you know, it is an indoctrinated way of being, I guess, as women and women in male dominated spaces as well, to find that permission to give yourself.
And it's different for different people too. So, you know, if you spoke with Alicia Eva or Chelsea Randall, their experiences might be really different, but because they've lived as players in this space as well. So for me, I haven't done that. So I'm sort of coming in from it without having been a player. So no one person's experience is everyone's experience. And, you know, I'm sure that some people would, you know, look at some of the things that I do and be like, that was really different to me. And that's okay. And I think that that's what we need to be mindful of, is that everyone's journey is a bit different, and we need to, as we do with the players, like, we cater to their development individually And we need to make sure that we do that with female coaches as well. We need to cater for people's development at their point of need.
As we're talking here, I can remember a picture of you. I think it was either in the first or second exhibition game, maybe at the final siren, where the Bulldogs had lost and you're kind of flopped over, absolutely exhausted and wrecked. You wouldn't have been exhausted because you're the fittest person around, but disappointed because you're a competitive beast. And I'm wondering about how competitive you are, that yourself and Loz Arnell, Premiership Falcons, both going to be coaching expansion teams. And do you have some kind of competition going for wins, losses this year between the two of you?
Well, if you're talking about the second exhibition game, I actually was given the relentless task of tagging Daisy. So no wonder I was exhausted. I think he had like 45,000 possessions. So that would be why that photo looked like that. And I'm glad I've never seen it. I don't think I've played a game of football ever since.
I'll fish it out somewhere.
What I will say about the group of female coaches that I've connected with so far is that first and foremost, there's a collegiality. So I've walked into functions and, you know, as much of the rivalry that Essendon and Hawthorn are going to have, because they have a rich rivalry anyway, let alone being two Melbourne teams coming in at the same time. You know, I can imagine that if they did happen to put us round one, like that's going to be a pretty big rivalry. But, you know, I've walked into a few things since my appointment and Beck's appointment, and, you know, the first person to come up and have start chatting and talking football and where we're at to and what are we doing is Beck. And so there's a real camaraderie. You know, I spoke with Loz the day after she got her appointment over in Port Adelaide, and, you know, just talking, not the nitty gritty and giving away anything, but that support mechanism and having that there is really important. And it creates the foundation. But yeah, come game day, I mean, there's, as an expansion team, like every win's going to be, you know, terrific. So you'll take each and every win that you can. But definitely you want to be able to, the matches against the other expansion teams, which is where the other two female coaches are, that's every game's a challenge.
A few of the players that you signed spoke of the fact that they grew up as Essendon supporters and this is a childhood dream to play for the club that they always barrack for. What club did you barrack for?
Very good question. Collingwood. I have some beautiful photos of me in a lovely Collingwood jumper playing Little League against Carlton, the best mullet that you can see getting around on a 12-year-old. Maybe I'll show that to you one day. It'll never surface. But diehard Collingwood supporter. I had family that Ken and Mark Fraser, mum's first cousins, played for Essendon, so there was always a small connection with Essendon. But yeah, I grew up hating Essendon, so it took me months to come around to taking this position, don't you worry.
Well, everyone's able to change and grow and improve, and you're proving that right now. Look, thank you so much, Woody, for your time. I asked you off air before we started whether I should call you Woody or Natalie, and you told me the one name that you don't like being called, which is?
I just don't like Nat Wood.
Nat Wood. Okay, everyone, yeah. You got it. Don't call her Nat. Thank you so much for your time. Really looking forward to seeing Essendon this year, all the four teams coming in, and just really excited for Essendon supporters to finally see an AFLW team in their colours. Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Woody.
Before we go, can I ask you a question?
Okay. Yep.
So I'm actually surprised that you've been able to come around and have this conversation with me since taking two of your Carlton players out of your list. Are we still friends?
I just want people to go where they're happy. I might have put a bit of mayo on it when I was on the pod talking about it. And, you know, I'm happy for those guys and can't wait for Carlton to beat you, all right? But we're still mates. It's fine.
Fair call.
Okay.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.